I'm Finn J.D. John, FJ at OffbeatOregon.com, and this is the Daily Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. It's Wednesday, so this is an archive show, but it last aired 2 to 10 years ago, so unless you're a hardcore long-time listener, it's probably new to you. Thanks for downloading, and I hope you enjoy the show. This is part two of a three-part series on iconic Hollywood movies shot in Oregon. Last week, we looked at the era from the dawn of filmmaking through the 1950s, and today we're going to talk about movies made between 1960 and 1975. Actually, 65 and 75. Of course, this is not an article about popular cinema as a mirror of popular culture, but it's hard to miss the social changes these pictures showcase. The nation that produced Shenandoah, with its faint stirrings of uneasy anti-war sentiment still wrapped in a classic Technicolor-era Western form, was profoundly different from the nation that welcomed One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest just 10 years later. Shenandoah, 1965. Universal Pictures. Filmed near Eugene and Marcola, starring James Stewart, Doug McClure, Glenn Corbett, Catherine Ross. This remarkable Civil War movie was shot in various places around the Willamette-McKenzie-Mohawk Delta, roughly centered on Springfield. The area bears a striking resemblance to the Shenandoah Valley, where the story takes place. The Mohawk-covered bridge on Pashelke Road near Marcola played a prominent part in the movie. On Ann Richardson's Oregon Movies A to Z website, a Fall Creek resident named Joe Derry remembers this particular project. Quote, "We found out they were filming this movie at our next-door neighbor's ranch," he wrote. "They filmed the scene on the bridge where Jimmy Stewart slaps a young soldier. We would ride our bikes to the shots, and our dog interrupted a few scenes by running on the campfire set and scratching his fleas. We did not know who Jimmy Stewart was, but this guy asked us about fishing the creek, so we took him fishing with us in our front yard," Derry continued. "Our dad spotted us and asked if we knew who the guy was fishing with us. We just shrugged and said, 'No, just a nice guy from the film crew.' He said, 'Why, that's Jimmy Stewart.'" Shenandoah tells the story of a successful Virginia farmer's unsuccessful attempt to keep the Civil War from affecting his family. Although the movie came out well before anti-Vietnam War sentiment really stirred in American popular consciousness, it shows a dawning sense of moral ambiguity about armed conflict. There are no good guys or bad guys in this movie, and the moral of its story seems to be futility. This is particularly interesting given that Jimmy Stewart was a World War II combat veteran, a bomber pilot, in fact. Number 7. Paint Your Wagon, 1969. Paramount Pictures, starring Lee Marvin, Clint Eastwood, Gene Seberg. This extravagant production was the last gasp of the American musical. It was shot almost entirely on location in a picturesque little meadow in the Wallowa Mountains, about 45 miles out of Baker City. In the movie, a rough-and-ready mining town with no women is suddenly blessed with the arrival of a Mormon man with two wives. Winkingly misogynistic hilarity ensues as the Mormon is convinced to auction off his surplus wife, and two other townspeople decide to share her, since if one man can have two wives, well, you know, what's good for the gander is good for the goose, right? Many locals remember a small colony of footloose, extravagantly bearded hippies living in the park in Baker City during this production, offering their services as extras. This picture was about a bunch of hard-living miners in the 1849 gold rush, and Baker County in 1969 was not sufficiently rich in scruffy-looking people to keep the movie supplied. However, word had spread up and down the West Coast, and for the duration of the shooting, the average length of hair in Baker City men probably quadrupled. While the film was being shot, Clint Eastwood enjoyed fly fishing in nearby rivers, and Lee Marvin spent a lot of time drinking with locals in area taverns. Number 8. Sometimes a Great Notion. Universal Pictures, starring Paul Newman, Henry Fonda, Lee Remick. This moderately successful flick, directed by Paul Newman, was one of two movies made from the work of Oregon literary icon Ken Kesey. It was released to generally good reviews, but subsequent history hasn't been particularly kind to it. Except in Oregon, that is. Especially in the timber towns of Oregon, where people who knew the timber industry were rather impressed by how right Newman got it. And most especially in the towns of Lincoln County, where this flick was filmed, where hundreds of people had stories of hanging out, drinking, and shooting the breeze with the cast and crew of the film. In this movie, a loggers' union has called a strike against the big local timber operator, and all the gypo operators are expected to stop work and support, but one stubborn gypo logging family refuses. Number 9. Rooster Cogburn, 1975. Universal Pictures. Starring John Wayne and Katharine Hepburn. This light-duty western didn't get much respect when it was released, and it hasn't made up much ground since. However, its lighthearted tone has diffused most of the criticism. It was filmed almost entirely in Oregon, mostly in Deschutes County, but also on the Rogue River. The movie itself is a sequel to True Grit, 1969. In it, the aging, hard-drinking Marshal Rooster Cogburn, John Wayne, has been stripped of his badge for excessive use of force. Then he's called upon to earn his badge back by bringing a gang of bank robbers who have hijacked a wagon load of nitroglycerin to justice with the help of a murdered preacher's adult daughter, that would be Katharine Hepburn's character, seeking justice for her family. Hilarity and, of course, exploding nitroglycerin ensues. Number 10. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, 1975. United Artists, starring Jack Nicholson, Louise Fletcher, William Redfield. This movie is probably the most well-known Oregon film, and there's plenty of things about it that make it straight-up creepy. First, it was filmed on location in and around the Oregon State Hospital, then, as now, a working mental hospital in Salem. That means there were actual crazy people in the building while the filming was being done. Many of the extras in the movie are actual hospital inmates. Richard Levine of the New York Times tells a chilling story of a press junket in which he and other reporters were escorted around the state hospital and stumbled into a group of hospital staffers trying, successfully, fortunately, to resuscitate an inmate who had apparently coded after an unscheduled application of electroconvulsive therapy, apparently a punishment for some disciplinary infraction. In this movie, a slippery con man named McMurphy wangles his way out of a prison sentence by getting himself declared insane. What he thinks is a deliverance from the prison work crew turns into something worse as he finds himself stuck under the power of the evil Nurse Ratched. McMurphy makes lots of trouble, leads an inmate rebellion, and ends up in a race to escape from the joint before something medically awful can be done to him. Coming attractions. Next week, in the third and final part of this three-part series about iconic Oregon movies, we'll start things off with another movie from 1975, one that seems a world away from the dark, subversive cuckoo's nest. Disney's sunny, perky, love-it-or-loathe-it Apple Dumpling Gang. This story was first published on March 23rd of 2014 under the headline Iconic Movies Filmed in Oregon Part 2, 1965 to 1975. Key sources included works by Ann Richardson, Richard Levine, IMDb.com, and Oregon.com. Well, that's our show for today. Thanks again for listening, and I hope you enjoyed it. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love, which is in turn a division of Pulplit Productions, a boutique publishing house that specializes in audiobook and regular book editions of stories from the classic pulp fiction era, Robert E. Howard, Algernon Blackwood, Edgar Rice Burroughs, H.P. Lovecraft, and so on. Right now we're working on some ripe stuff from long before the pulp era. The original Penny Dreadfuls, Varney the Vampire, or the Feast of Blood, and of course Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street. More information about Pulplit, including our catalog, 14 titles and counting, can be found at pulp-lit.com. This podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license, type CC BY SA International 4.0. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. Listen and download more at atlasstringband.com. Got an idea for a show I should do or just want to say hi? Or maybe you're going to be in Corvallis sometime soon with time for a cup of coffee or a pint of Hammerhead? Drop me a line at fj@offbeatoregon.com. Let's set it up. Fresh episodes of Offbeat Oregon History come your way at around 6 a.m. every weekday morning, so if you're looking for the next one, you won't have long to wait. Until then, go fill up the rest of the day with good stuff. That's what I'm going to do. Bye now.